You're listening to Easy Way Broadcasting, powered by WTV. We have a fantastic show for you. We're doing it the easy way, baby, and we're giving you the easy way to success. Are you ready to ride with your host, Eric Zuli? Check out his blog at HollywoodGetGuy.com and follow him on Twitter at Eric Zuli. Here he is, the hardest working man in Hollywood, Eric Easy Zuli.
Good morning, everybody. Woo! Another awesome episode of Easy Talk Live. Once again here on Easy Way Broadcasting, powered by WTV Networks, only on Blog Talk Radio. Now remember, guys, you can actually chat with us live if you're listening to the basic broadcast page. You can chat with us live if you scroll down. There's a chat box. So if you want to join in the conversation, you can do that. This show is brought to you by Domino's Pizza, RPM Pizza, Acumen Technologies, Avant Garde Magazine, FVM Global, Fan TV Global Networks, Actors Reporter, Music That Pays Magazine, and all of our other wonderful distribution partners and sponsors and all the people that support us. We got an awesome show, and we're going to jump right into it. We got the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Bill Duke in the house. Bill Duke, my man, Bill. What's going on, Bill?
God bless you, brother. Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming on, man. I know that you're actually on your way to be on set, and you actually pulled this time aside to be able to make sure that our fans are get to hear a little bit of you, and we're going to actually be continuing this interview later on, so I want to let everybody know it's going to be a short interview, because we do respect Bill's time, and we appreciate him being on. But Bill, man, I just recently saw you at the American Chinese CEO Society event, and we talked a little technology.
Exactly. You know, the new paradigm going from film and television to media, everything from mobile TV, gang, Grand Theft Auto made $1 billion in 3 days, and we have to begin to move in that direction also, not only television and film. So we're trying our best to do that.
You're speaking my language, brother. That's what we do is digital. People call me a digital promotions phenomenon. And that's the next wave, guys. That's the next wave of the future. It's about to turn the corner. And, you know, you definitely want to hop on the right digital trains. But, so Bill, man, I'm a fan. We got Exit Wounds. We got, and of course, Menace to Society, you know, the classic scene.
That's right.
are you ready?
That's right.
Okay. Here we go. So you bought the bottle of beer precisely at 7:50. Man, so many others. You're legendary, man. You know, award-winning actor. I was looking at your credits too. You're an amazing director. You know, I thought you were just an actor, but man, you got a lot of directing and producer credits to you as well. Like, tell us a little bit of the story. You know, how did it all happen from being a kid to now where you are?
Well, I'm born in Poughkeepsie, New York, upstate New York, man, and being blessed by God, man, to go to the American Film Institute and other places, man, to learn not only acting but directing and producing and writing. So it's resulted in I just put together a new division of my company, a documentary division, and signed a deal with Oprah Winfrey and for her own network. And last year we did a thing called Dark Girls, which examines colorism, racism in our own community. And now I'm filming Light Girls, and we do What is a Man, What is a Woman. And so we're doing a lot of different things, man, and developing a show called Lexicans, which is going to be a TV show. So we're getting into the new media realm, television, film, the entire thing, man, and trying to be like you when we grow up, man.
I appreciate that. You know, John Mata, the executive vice president, former executive vice president of the CW, Warner Brothers Network, said the exact same thing on the carpet at the W Hotel. I was like, hey, man, you know, did you always want to be the president of vice president of CW, or were you looking to do other things? He said the exact same thing. You know, we couldn't be you, so we decided to do the CW thing. And I don't know why everybody keeps saying that, but I'm very blessed to hear it from legends like yourself and positive role models like yourself. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, thank you, man, and I'm looking forward to having a longer interview with you. I have to go to the set, but thank you for your time, and man, also thank you for the great things you're doing in terms of bringing awareness to the paradigm shift in our industry, because, you know, a lot of kids are coming to this town, man, still trying to be Steven Spielberg when they should be trying to be Steve Jobs, you know, so thank you for bringing our attention to it, our focus to it, and I look forward to talking to you again, man.
Exactly. Thank you so much for your time, Bill. And so did you want to say anything about your book and about this? I mean, it's amazing. You're working with Oprah, and if people want to get more information, they can go to my blog, ericzuliblog.com. But any final words from you on why they should buy the book, why they should get involved? And we'll definitely set up another interview that we'll get more into detail with the wonderful life of Bill Duke.
Well, definitely, if they go on Amazon and look under Dark Girls, it's a book in terms of empowerment of women. And they can buy it, and it's called Dark Girls Book, Bill Duke's Dark Girls Book. You can buy it in Barnes & Noble, other stores, and Amazon. You can get it, online. And the thing is that it's about the empowerment of women and the things that women face in terms of everything from skin color to beauty standards. And we're trying to just say that God did not make a mistake. The way you were born is fine, and whoever tells you you're not, don't listen to them. So the book kind of reinforces the beauty of women, the empowerment of women, et cetera. So check out Dark Girls, okay?
Well, we're proud to support you, man. Do you have time for one chatter question, or do you have to go?
One question's good. Go ahead.
One question. All right, well, we got a caller, 661-9533. Caller, are you there? All right, we're going to go to another caller. We got a restricted number. Caller, are you there? You're online with Bill Duke and Eric Zuli. Easy. Hello, caller. Or 213-5908. Are you there? Okay, we have some shy callers. So, all right, Bill, thank you so much for your time, man. Do your thing on set, and we'll catch you again. And thank you for the promotion and the support, and thank you for doing it the easy way today.
God bless, man. I appreciate it very much, okay?
All right, thanks. All right, guys, that was
bye.
Bill Duke. You know, we were able to grab him for a quick, quick little interview. But he is a very busy man. He is doing a lot of amazing things. But we are going to be getting another exclusive interview with him. If you want to check out an interview I did with him at the American Chinese CEO Society, you can actually go to the invite page as well as Easy Way Broadcasting fans page and see a little bit more in detail interview. And we are going to be setting up another one, which is going to give us a lot more time to learn more about him as what he did when he was a kid, what are some of the stepping stones he went through, who are some of the people that helped him, how did he network himself to success, a lot of different questions about all the movies and directing and producing that he's done. We're going to get all into it the easy way. So, apologize, it was a little bit of a short interview, but we were able to snag him for a little bit. We did try to answer a couple of chatter questions. Unfortunately, nobody jumped on. So for future guys, if we do mention your area code and the last four digits of your phone number, that usually means you are on air with EZ and whatever guest I have. You are on air with us, guys, and you are able to chat directly. We try to help as much as we can the celebrities interact with their fans in the wonderful world of Hollywood, California. That's how we do it. So, guys, we're going to go to a quick commercial break. We got a lot of cool things we're going to talk about as far as our network, thewtv.com, which Easyway Broadcasting is powered by thewtv.com. This is a little bit more information on it. You're listening to Easy Talk Live with your host, EZ, here in Orange County, California, doing our thing in Hollywood, and we'll be right back.
Easyway Broadcasting is the place to hear everything you need to know about entertainment and business. Now, you can see more about Eric Easy Zuli and all his connections through his online TV network, WTV Network. You can watch the latest videos and read the most up-to-date articles. Keep your eyes on WTV Network to see what's coming in the next few weeks. You'll see the newest web series and original talk shows. Follow Eric at Hollywood It Guy to find out what is new and what is happening in the upcoming weeks. For more information on WTV Network, go to www.thewtv.com.
www.thewtv.com. Guys, you will find some of the coolest articles and blog posts and videos and pictures. And one thing we want to highlight from our site, thewtv.com, is Kimberly Moore, which is the founder of the Echelon Club, founder of the Kimberly Moore Foundation, and Adopt a Letter. We had her on last week, actually, as our guest. If you guys go to thewtv.com and you go to philanthropy or events, you'll see an event, Kimberly Moore, A Day of Giving Back to the Community, Adopt a Letter. Man, she just did an amazing event. It was a day of giving back to the community in collaboration with the Plaza Mexico. By adopt a letter in the making dreams come true. They had Cheo Carrillo, which is a, I guess, Justin Bieber of the world in the Hispanic community. There's a bunch of pictures on the site if you guys want to go check it out. And they also had a lot of great things. So it was a program for Adopt a Letter. It's a program that's dedicated to answering letters to Santa, written by thousands of underprivileged children in the community and fulfilling their Christmas wishes right at their doorstep. It's a really cool organization. If you don't know about it, check it out. Look up Kimberly, KimberlyMoore, Kimberly Moore, 51 on Twitter. Follower, supporter, definitely get involved. You'll see pictures, and I'm going to read this article written by Dante Reporter, which was coverage of her last event, which had probably a couple thousand people, and it was a really successful event for the community. Adopt a Letter charity event. Linwood was jumping today to the sounds of the Xavier L. Cheo Carrillo of Twins Music Group, who provided a free concert to the public. The cause was Kimberly Moore's annual Adopt a Letter charity event held at the Plaza Mexico on Imperial Highway at Long Beach Boulevard. There were literally hundreds of young girls lined up for the photo opportunity with Cheo after his set. Carrillo's Ni Tan Mini, Nan Tin Chico, I apologize if I'm mispronouncing anything, had them screaming with enthusiasm while El Ladron kept them at fever's pitch. Kimberly Moore's charity is in its sixth year and has already answered the letters of 20,000 kids, delivering a gift to each doorstep. This is a noble cause that should be supported in every community. Plaza Mexico was packed and parking was scarce as the crowd welcomed Angeles Ochoa, who has amassed a global audience for her folk style. Angeles is a charming and personable as comforting and engaging melodies, which have captivated audience since she was a mere 6 years old. Dr. Estella Snyder from LA Talk Radio was also on hand of the festivities, along with the other celebrities. However, the posters of to Kimberly are at undoubtedly stood out. Sorry, I've got a little messed up there. We love you, Kimberly. Thank you so much, Kimberly, is what the crowd shouted. Read like confetti throughout the whole packed venue, and marking what has come to be known as a worthy and rewarding commitment to underprivileged kids. Kimberly Moore is a hero in the community and is breaking down barriers with her efforts. Adopt a Letter is growing exponentially. So that's a little bit more about Adopt a Letter, guys. That's an event that we did. We did cover. We did support. We got involved. It was an amazing event. Me and Kimberly are going to be doing some things together. We're going to probably get together, put our heads together to create an event for the community. And, so keep tuning in. Keep tuning in. I'm also going to read you guys something from an event that we did at the StubHub Center in Carson City, California. The StubHub Center actually was an amazing event. It was for honoring our heroes. It was hosted by Sammy Maloof, presented by Watering Seeds, sponsored by Domino's Pizza and Easy Way Broadcasting. And I'll tell you guys a little bit about what Watering Seeds. And this is our segment, guys, Easy Way Cares. And we highlight charities. We highlight nonprofits trying to make a difference. Watering Seeds Organization is a 501c3 nonprofit organization founded by Brady Mazzola to create sports rehabilitation and recreational opportunities for wounded warriors and challenged civilians. WSO was inspired by Paralympic wheelchair tennis exhibition held at the UCLA in summer of 2004. Mazzola had never seen elite wheelchair tennis and was amazed by the spirit, heart, and courage these athletes possessed. WSO is dedicated to empowering our youth, wounded warriors, and challenging the civilian communities throughout education, media, inspirational sports programs, and live entertainment events. That's wateringseeds.org. Make sure you guys check them out. We had an amazing event. Will Champlin from The Voice performed. We had over 10 different celebrities. Pamela Hasselhoff was there. Sam Sarpong was there. Shabadoo was there. Michael, which is known as Boogaloo Shrimp, also known as Turbo from Breakin'. Shabadoo is known as Ozone. Najee Detez, the Blue Ranger from the Power Rangers. Carla Perez, Rito Repello from the Power Rangers. And many, many other awesome celebrities were there in support of this awesome event. And guys, remember, if you want us to cover your event, if you want us to talk about your event on our radio show, if you want us to do our thing, we will be doing that for you. If you want to hit us up at booking, B-O-O-K-I-N-G, at easywaybroadcasting.com. That's booking at easywaybroadcasting.com. We're going to go ahead and go to a quick commercial break. I hope you're enjoying the show. This is Easy Talk Live. Here's an event coming up next year, guys, that I think you'll be pretty interested in. This is the Ascent Expo, sponsored by Easy Way Promotions.
Innovation, philanthropy, consciousness, and commerce collide with Hollywood at the 2015 Ascent Expo at the Los Angeles Convention Center on February 27th through March 1st. Get your company, product, idea, or cause exposed at this historic event, featuring beauty, fashion, art, and music on an enormous center stage with 50 electrifying performances, tens of thousands of people, and a star-studded red carpet. Experience an overwhelming flow of potential customers, clients, business partners, collaborators, and investors. Prime exhibitor space and sponsorships are selling fast. Visit AscentExpo.com. That's AscentExpo.com.
Finally, something to look forward to on Monday morning. I'm Aretha Gray from Betty White's Off Their Rockers, and I've teamed up with Easy's dad, Jim Zuli, to rock your world on Baby Boomers Live. That's right, every Monday morning at 10 a.m., we will be discussing all things human from a baby boomer's perspective. So, tune in to EasyWayBroadcasting.com on BlogTalkRadio.com to see what Jim and I are up to. Your Mondays will never be the same.
And we're back, Easy Talk Live. Hey, Homer, you enjoying today's show?
Woohoo!
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what we're doing. Yeah, all right. So, hey, guys, if you want to chat with us, remember you can chat with us at our chat box. If you're listening to the podcast, just scroll down. You can chat with us live, chat with me live, any of our guests, anybody that we have hanging with us. I'm going to go ahead and put some music on. This is Megan Henry, Crash a Party. It's one of my favorite songs. It has over a million views on YouTube. Amazing song. Give us your feedback. And I'm going to go ahead and answer a couple calls offline, see if anybody wants to get on air and have anything to say. You're listening to Easy Way Broadcasting, powered by WTV Networks. I'm your host, Easy, on Easy Talk Live every Thursday, 10:30 a.m. Podcast radio, baby. That's how it works. It's the new digital age.
You ready for this? Let's go. We'll be right back.
All right, guys, that was Crash Party Tonight by Megan Henry, which has over 1 million views on YouTube. And we are getting there into the new segment, Breaking News, with my man Shabadoo. And if you guys don't know, you can actually go to Easy Way Broadcasting on Facebook, on our fans page, letter E, letter Z, Easy Way Broadcasting, and you will see videos of Shabadoo and, yes, Ozone and Michael, Boogaloo Shrimp, Turbo, Shabadoo and Michael. Ozone and Turbo together on the red carpet doing it the easy way. It's a really cool video. You might want to go check it out. It's there on Easy Way Broadcasting's fans page, as well as many other awesome videos. And we hope that you guys can go check it out. If you like what you see, like the page, tell your friends, post your comments, and the like button, share buttons don't bite, so go ahead and use them. You can check my blog out at Eric Zuley Blog, E-R-I-C-Z-U-L-E-Y Blog. I am a celebrity host. I've been doing this for about 12 years in Hollywood and Orange County, California, and I help connect corporate to Hollywood. I help connect celebrities to their fans. We do everything digitally, and I have an application you can download as well, which is E-R-I-C-Z-U-L-E-Y on your Apple or Google Play Android phone. And, it helps you connect to Hollywood. It's a lot of fun. We do tons of events yearly, probably about 20 to 50 events a year. And, we have a blast. So Shabadoo will be in a few. So in the meantime, if you guys have any questions or you want to join in, remember you can go to our Flash Chat on Blog Talk, and you can actually be a part of the show. You can join in. So while you listen to Shabadoo when he comes on and he does his segment, while you listen to me, you can actually be chatting with us. So shout out and what's up, Flame On Radio Network. Shout out and what's up to Anna C. Zeka. Thank you so much for tuning in onto our chat. We're looking for you. Shout outs to Guest 6779. Shout outs to everybody that's out there. Segment's going to be coming up here pretty soon. You are listening to Easy Talk Live on Easy Way Broadcasting, powered by WTV Networks, one of your hottest places to get the Hollywood content, corporate content, philanthropy, fashion, entertainment news, worldwide, digitally, the easy way. Check it out if you don't know about us. We have a group on Facebook, Hollywood The Easy Way, tons of people use to promote their own stuff, and they meet some great people. And I am someone that hangs out with a lot of the stars and interviews everybody, and people love it. They seem to like to follow me. If you want to follow me, my wacky self goes on Twitter all the time at E-R-I-C-Z-U-L-E-Y or E-R-I-C-Z-U-L-E-Y on Instagram. You can also Google it. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So pretty soon, guys, we have Shabadoo just going to be coming in here. We're just building up for this segment. I know you guys are on the edge of your seats just waiting to see what's going on. We're going to go another quick commercial break here, and this is actually a commercial, and a couple of people that endorsed the show. And when we come back, we should have Shab. Hopefully, we'll see what happens. Hope you guys are enjoying the show. Easy Talk Live. I'm your host, Easy, and we'll be right back.
Life is hard for how to roll the easy way. Life is hard for how to roll the easy way. Life is hard for how to roll the easy way. Life is hard for how to roll the easy way.
I'm Aubrey O'Day, and I'm doing it the easy way.
I'm attorney Gloria Allred, and I'm doing Hollywood the easy way.
What up, y'all? It's your partner, Big Boy, Big Boy's Neighborhood, and guess what? I'm doing it the easy way. You're doing it the easy way. All of us are doing it the easy way.
Hi, I'm Larry Namer, co-founder of E! Entertainment Television, now president of Meitong Development Group, which works mainly in China. I really wanted to say a few words about Eric Zuley, or EZ, as a lot of people know him. I just want to say, Eric, keep up the dedication, the perseverance, and the creativity. You're helping to change the media world.
Jake Busey, I'm doing it the easy way.
Hey, Oba Babatunde here, and I'm doing it the easy way.
Shifty from Crazy Town, and I'm doing it the easy way.
Yo, this is Ray J, and it's all about doing it the easy way.
Hey, this is Brady Connell, I'm the executive producer of Extreme Makeover Home Edition, and I've decided to do Hollywood the easy way.
Hello, I'm Tatiana Ali, and I do Hollywood the easy way.
Hi, I'm Sally Kirkland, and I'm doing it the easy way.
Hey, Hollywood It Guy here, follow.
What's going on, guys? All right, I hope you're enjoying Easy Talk Live. We are gearing up for the segment Breaking News, and we are doing it the easy way. And if you want to do it the easy way too, you can hashtag letter E, letter Z, W-A-Y, or follow me on Twitter, E-R-I-C-Z-U-L-E-Y, or our network at Easy Way Broadcast, as well as WTV Networks. So we are powered by WTV Networks. We are a full distribution digital situation. We cover things, and then we put them all over the world, reaching about 250 million people with all the magazines and TV and YouTube and radio and everybody that we work with. We are one of the largest digital distribution sources on the internet, I've been told. And we want to shout out a couple of our distribution partners and wonderful people. Music That Pays Magazine. Definitely check Music That Pays Magazine out. They help you actually make money while you're doing your thing with music. It's pretty cool, Music That Pays Magazine. They have over 55,000 subscribers quarterly in 20 cities all over Southern California. It's pretty cool. If you don't know about it, go check it out, definitely. And then also Avant Garde Magazine, one of the highest, classiest, high fashion that you'll ever see. It's an amazing magazine. We're proud to be working with them, as well as FVM Global Magazine. FVM Global, another high fashion magazine. And, of course, Fan TV Global Networks. We appreciate Fan TV Global Networks. Who works with Manny Pacquiao? Who works with, I mean, just go check them out, fantv.tv. If you go to channels and you scroll down and you click on Hollywood TV, you will see WTV Easy Way Broadcasting, all of our content on there. We're proud to have that channel. And thank you to Meitan Development Group in China, the co-founder of E-Entertainment, my man Larry Namer, for supporting us and what our efforts are and distributing us out there in China, which is Meitan Development Group. Hello, Hollywood. If you don't know, now you know. Check it out. Hello, Hollywood, definitely. And thank you to everybody that supports us, Backstage Access Magazine, Actors Reporter, Actors Entertainment. If you don't know about it, guys, if you want to actually get some secrets of how to actually use your eyes to benefit yourself, go to Amazon and check out Acting With Your Eyes. It's a new book out by an amazing author, Acting With Your Eyes. If you don't know about it, go check it out. It definitely does help. I actually learned a couple tips myself. It was pretty awesome. And so this is Easy Talk Live, guys. I hope you're enjoying the show. Again, guys, if you don't know about us, check us out at thewtv.com. We're going to pop on this song called Fresh Kids by Sam Sarpong, who will be doing a movie with Wesley Snipes, another supporter of ours. We've got a big event coming up with a major magazine on December 11th, which we'll be a part of. Sam Sarpong was the face of Ed Hardy, the face of Tommy Hilfiger, the face of Boyd London. He was on MTV's Yo Mama. If you probably remember him from MTV's Yo Mama with Wilmer Valderrama. And this is one of the exclusive songs he hasn't put out yet, but we do it the easy way. So check this out. It's called Fresh Kids, and we'll be right back with breaking news with Shabadoo, Shabadoo, Shabadoo.
Come kick it with the freshest kids. See how we do with it. Peep out how it is we live. Cause we the freshest kids. Come kick it with the freshest kids. See how we do with it. Peep out how it is we live. Cause we the freshest kids. Cause we the freshest kids. The professional kids. Place. Yo, I came here to jam. Okay. We go party all night. Hope you came with your fam. Bring your girls and your crew, cause the bar's on me. You see me on the runway. Oh yeah, and Big E C. So now we take it worldwide when we come to your town. You the stars, be my clique, and we the dopest around. So yo, get on the dance floor and let me see what you got. You looking like a naughty girl, and it's making me hot. So I'ma dance tonight like tonight is my last. Sexy girl in my lap, and we having a blast.
Camelot, yeah. Camelot, yeah. Camelot.
care. You've got to come out on the floor. Get down and off your back. You can't get it on. Look out, get back. I'm doing Camelot, yeah, yeah. I'm doing Camelot, yeah, 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 yeah. You've got to kick your leg, turn your hat. Hey, step to the side. Not shaking and locking, hey, not shaking and locking, hey, and Campbell locking, hey, and Campbell locking, hey, right on! Not shaking and locking, not shaking and locking, shaking, shaking, locking, ow!
Breaking news with Chuck Chubba Doo.
Chubba Doo, the ultimate innovator of many styles. Got plenty styles. Check it out, we working it.
Let's give it up for the king of the street dance. Chubba Doo, everything he do is completely enhanced. Started off with the lockers, to rocking with Shaka. I feel for those who oppose the chief rocker. The chief working it, dance man, the genius. Respect you true to Don Cornelius. The motivator of street dance style today. And if you don't know a brother, check it.
Every legend needs a theme song when you hear this. Cherish the legacy, the man will never perish.
Who?
Shabba Doo, he brings the camera cool. Let his name ring from here to Xanadu.
Locking, 5.0, rubber legging and whacking. Created cause the culture was lacking. Turfing, crumping, shuffling, tutting. Look at what the street kids started from.
And now your host, Shabba Doo.
Hey. What's up, Easy? What's going on?
What up, man? Just the easy way once again, breaking news style.
Yeah, you know, I'm excited. I have two, you know, originals from back in the day, back here in Los Angeles, when this whole street dance thing started. So I'm really fortunate. We're all really fortunate. I'm extremely happy to have them on. James OG Skeeter Rabbit Higgins and Steve Sinbad Crane. These guys are going to help share some of what all the magic was back in those days, you know, the club life, what it was like locking in Watts, and, you know, and really give some clarity to this movement that I think is lacking in a lot of ways. So we're excited.
I'm excited too, man. I remember them. Skeet. I think they're on. You guys there? Hello? No? Yes? If you guys are on.
My locking style brother's online.
Hey, Steve Crane is here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Oh, great.
We have Steve Crane, a.k.a. Sinbad, is on deck. I'm on deck. So, we wait. Is Skeeter Rabbit on?
Now, I got a question, though, Shab. Sinbad, do you think the actor Sinbad got pissed of this guy stealing his name, or is he the original?
I don't think so. No. This guy didn't steal Sinbad, the actor or comedian's name. This guy had that name way before that, I believe. So
the actor Sinbad.
I don't think
name.
There's any thievery here.
It's kind of funny, because I did run into.
You know, before we start, you know, again, I'm really excited. Steve, you're on the line. This is Sinbad Crane. Why don't you introduce yourself to our listeners?
Okay, my
name
is Steve.
I want to hear the Sinbad story.
Steve Sinbad Crane. Started dancing, locking in 1972, 73. And I had actually had the pleasure of running into Sinbad at the LAX, Los Angeles International Airport. I was working there as a police officer in an overtime capacity. He was getting out of his car, and I introduced myself, because I had always thought that if anything, he stole my name, because I was on television long before he was, and we're about the same age. I'm 57 years of age now, and by the time I had stopped dancing and finished college and everything else, he then rose up with the name Sinbad. So we joked about it, and then he told me about all the legalities he had actually run into using the name, but obviously he survived.
Well, there you go. And do we have James Skeeter Rabbit Higgins on the line?
Yeah, you do.
There you go. You know, Skeet, why don't you introduce yourself to the listeners, let them know your name, give us a brief introduction as to who you are.
Well, me and Shab, we go way, way back. I'm James Higgins. Skeeter was my original nickname. I became known as Skeeter Rabbit because of our good friend, Mr. Penguin. I'm now known as OG Skeeter Rabbit because I'm a elder statesman and my name has been used several times. I go way back to 1971 to some of the first locking that was ever done when I first saw Don Campbell do the dance. I've danced with all of the major groups out of the hoods of South Central, the Go-Go Brothers, Creative Generation. I even danced with Steve and the Ghetto Dancers at one time, and I toured with the Lockers in 1974, and I created the shuffle move step called the Skeeter Rabbit. So there it is in a nutshell, Shab, and I'm glad to be on here with you.
Well, wonderful, wonderful. You know, I must state this, you know, the world obviously knows about the Lockers, and as a founding member of this fabled troupe, our history is well documented, having, you know, really set the professional gold standard for the form throughout our many television appearances and stage appearances. But while you guys are on the show, is before we was formed professionally as the Lockers, it was a thriving community with many people out there locking, lots of people doing the dance and dancing on Soul Train. So just, again, I know you gave the name Skeeter Rabbit. What was the name of your locking style group?
Well, the original group that I was in was created by me, Tony Go-Go, and Buddy Go-Go. It was called the Go-Go and Yo-Yo Brothers, and the names were given to us by Mr. Penguin. That was the original group I was in, but I was also in another group before the Lockers formed, and that was along with Greg Campbell Lock Jr., and that was a group out of Watts Writers Workshop called Creative Generation in 1972.
Wow.
So I was in very early groups.
Wow, that's amazing. And you did mention Mr. Penguin, Fred Berry, a.k.a. Rerun.
Absolutely.
From the show What's Happening, and one of the founding members of the Lockers. He has a long and storied past himself. He's an amazing dancer, an amazing human being, incredibly gifted and talented, as a lot
yes,
of people
sir.
Were. So I'm glad you shared that with us. But Sinbad, what was your group's name?
The name of our group was called the Ghetto Dancers, but that was actually the third name of the group. The first name, which lasted 24 hours at that, was called the Lockers Unlimited, which obviously was a piggyback of the original Lockers, and I was not in favor of that at all, but my decision. After that name was abandoned and didn't last in a day, then it was called Captain Crunch and the Funky Bunch. There have been several groups that have called that afterwards, but we were the originals back in 1973. And after the Captain Crunch and Funky Bunch name faded because the members of the group, which I like that name, by the way, but the members of the group didn't think that one should be put above the others, and it was called the Ghetto Dancers, which was a name that I particularly did not care for, but I had no say-so in so far as the final decision was concerned. And so throughout our career, which a couple of years, it was the Ghetto Dancers.
Yeah, and Steve, me and you, we also danced together on those Ghetto Dancers at one point in time.
And allow me to mention who the Ghetto Dancers actually were. They were Captain Crunch, Cisco Kid, may he rest in peace, F&M, Flea Lock, and myself, Sinbad. F&M and Flea Lock were brothers. They left the group, and then that's when Skeeter joined the group and allowed us to continue to do our shows, and then eventually the Ghetto Dancers folded and everybody went separate ways.
And now these are the dancers that are depicted in the graphic that's been posted all over Facebook and social network and what have you, right?
All right. And let me explain
Absolutely.
What F&M means. F&M was, well, his real name is Eugene Henderson. He was a fluid dancer, very stylish, very smooth, one of the best locker style
outstanding
dancers.
Outstanding dancer.
And he
was. He was outstanding, and you know what? In the early days, F&M, people used to confuse both of us because we looked similar. We had the afro, the light-skinned brother, you know, and all that stuff.
And the height.
Yeah, buddy.
And the height, yeah. I know for a fact that F&M was just outstanding, as well as his brother.
Right.
I used to see him quite a bit at Maverick Flat, and also at the Summit.
Yeah,
I think they had a room in the back. Because when I got there, they were always there first, somehow.
The owner that you're talking about was named, his name is Ronald Henderson, but his dancing name was Rubber Band Man. And then they had a younger brother.
Tall, thin brother, right?
Tall and thin, exactly. And then their younger brother was still in junior high school at the time, and his name was Fleelock. The reason why they called F&M, we jokingly said Fantastic Man, but the reality was he had a part-time job at a community market in Inglewood called F&M.
F&M,
Market, which still exists on Van Ness and Arvida. Because he worked at that community market, he adopted that name. And he was he was a dancer that wasn't flashy, did not care for the limelight, did not promote himself, and he could have been a lot bigger than he was, but he chose to stay in the background. But he was good.
That brings about a great point, Steve, that there were so many dancers that did not deem to be in the limelight, and they were lost in the shuffle, because there was dancers in the hoods of Watts, Compton, South Central, and like you said, you and Little Greg, which was the original Captain Crunch that came out the BKF, the Black Karate Federation. These are dancers whose name wasn't lost. Now, some of the dancers in my groups, like Okie Doke, John Wayne Wilson, Bishop Coco, who had a classic battle with Slim the Robot on Soul Train, in between Soul Train shows at one time, was great dancers. Buddy Go-Go. People will never realize how quick and good Buddy Go-Go was. But those were all great dancers who came along in the real street essence of the dance. And, Shab, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. Lots of great dancers, and for all sorts of reasons, people just didn't keep it up, which brings up the next question, and what I really want to get out here is, now, you know, again, we've already stated that I've known both of you for a very long time, and we've known each other. We come from the same tree, so to speak. And but here's a question for both of you. Now, I know at some point you were going along and there was this huge disappearance. I mean, even decades long. Why was that? Sinbad, why did you suddenly leave the locking brigade, so to speak?
Well, I knew that I had planned to go to college. And there was no way that I wanted to miss that experience. Locking kind of started to fade out right around 1975 as pop locking starting to come into play as being the dominant dance. And so I figured that when I started college, I would give up dancing altogether so far as, you know, locking is concerned and concentrate on school, and that's what I did. Of course, pop locking evolved, and then after pop locking, obviously break dancing. So locking was kind of fading out as an entertainment dance because it lasted for what, I guess from 71, 75, probably more or less.
Well,
and of course, the group Rockers were still able to make it work because they were so entertaining, and really they kept everything going. If it hadn't been for them, it would have faded much sooner.
Well, you know, again, you know, point of view is one thing, but I tell you the reality, and here's where I beg to differ. Locking never faded in 1975. Pop locking didn't come into its own until the very late 70s. And I was still doing it and quite active. The Lockers were still on television. Our last television appearance was on a special called The Dick Van Dyke Show for ABC. And so that was in 1977. I left that in 1977.
You're right.
I left the group and went solo. Now, again, that's a question, but maybe your interest or your desires went in a different direction, but the dance itself
let me explain how I saw it, Chap. The style of dance and there were very, very an awful lot of people and directions that the dance went into. All of them weren't there were many scenes. All of them weren't the entertainment scene as people were able to see. There were scenes in Orange County, there were scenes in Ventura, and there was still a scene in South Central Los Angeles. Being an investigator and a detective and then a business owner, because I was president of the Vernon Central Merchants Association, I was in the city and in the hood all of the time. The dance went back to its original roots. It went back into the house parties and back into the backyard barbecues, because a lot of the dancers weren't interested in that scene that you were able to take to a professional scene. many times I went out to parties, and all the parties I went to, because my relatives still lived in South Central Los Angeles, somebody did some locking. Somebody did some locking, and not only locking, like Steve said, it was roboting, which was developing and changing at the time. People always did that. Every birthday party I was at, they did that. But there was another scene that you were able to take to another level, which was the entertainment scene. People weren't necessarily interested in that. I'd had bad experiences with the professional entertainment scene, and you know some of my bad experiences. I was more content, like Steve said, to take another direction in the educational field, but I still maintained myself on the scene of the hood, the deep hood where there were parties and there was house parties and social dances. I still maintained myself there. And I think Steve actually continued to dance even in law enforcement. I think he won a contest there. So the dance continued. But the scene that we were on changed and went in another direction.
You know, I'll tell you. You know, during that time, again, I was swimming in two different an ocean and salt water and fresh water. But I tell you, during that time, during the 1970s, I was still very active, even on the street scene as well, going to dance contests, the Destiny 2s, the Grand Hotels, the Southwest Camels, all those kinds of, El Paso Cantina, which was still going on in the 1970s. But a lot of these people maybe have lost interest. I don't know. I haven't questioned them. But some of them just weren't able to carve out a professional career. A lot of them just wasn't professional, and they didn't know how
well,
to
we,
be.
We also know in the professional scene was very limited. The Lockers were an extraordinary group that was put together, that the doors was open at the turn of the civil rights era, and we all know the opportunity in those times weren't for everybody. The Lockers opened those doors. They opened the doors to the entertainment world, but not everybody had that opportunity. I was fortunate enough to dance with the Lockers when they went on tour, but there wasn't an opportunity for an awful lot of groups. Sinbad's group broke just the tip of the iceberg with some of the shows that they were able to go to. 33 RPM did a tour, but everyone wasn't able to make it to that level. And some people took the professional entertainment scene as not true and authentic to the street culture of the dance. Whether that was accurate or not, I don't know, but some people took that, and they just did not have an interest in going professional with it. They wanted to keep it as a social dance, a cultural social dance. Those are the people that I ran across inside of the parties and the backyard barbecues and those sort of things. They weren't interested in traveling out to Glendale or Orange County in dance contests. They weren't interested in competing. They just kept it a social dance. So there were a lot of scenes, and not one was better than the other. It was just that there were a lot of different scenes. I ran across tons of people inside of Watts and Compton as I traveled that asked about you, Shab, and wondered why you weren't around on the internal scene. It's because you had gone to another level, and we needed those doors to be open on that other level.
Yeah, true. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of truth to what you just said, and I tell you, there's a number of Joes out there, locking Joes that were dancing back in the day, that may claim that, well, you know, we certainly didn't like or enjoy the professional world. But I tell you, from my experience, I never encountered not one single one of them that didn't desire to have a professional career. If they were offered a professional job that was willing to pay them to do the thing that they love to do, they would immediately take it.
Well, I did take it, and that's how I found out that I didn't like the professional world. There's so much, you know, we've all seen the Five Heartbeats, and we've all seen the Temptation story. There's a lot of controversy in the professional world. I had some very good experiences, some experience I wouldn't change for the world, but I left an educational background to go out on tour with the Lockers. As I continued into the professional ranks, I flew back home and left the Lockers. I left a baseball career. I left a professional baseball career to go out there. Dancing is an element of the soul and belongs to the streets. The streets open the door to the professional world. I didn't particularly care for the way it broke up brotherhoods, it broke up groups, it broke up the concept of the streets, the purpose of the dance. I didn't care for it, but it needed to be, because it would not have had the limelight that it got if somebody hadn't have broke the door down. You had the mentality for it, Jeff.
Okay. You know, Skeeter, you hit on the point here. And I really want clarification on that point. You said you left the lockers. Now, when you came with the lockers, when you
I left locking.
Okay, that's a different name. When you left the lockers, you were brought into the lockers to.
But I'm
very
much interested in the question you got there, Shab. When I toured with you, what's the question?
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. The question is, when you left the lockers, you filled the need. The need was completed. And so, therefore, assignment completed, you went on doing whatever you were doing at that point. But here's the thing. Right now, all of us know Don Campbell. And we met Don Campbell when he was young and he was fit and he was, you know, the man about town. I mean, he was the big great ape of this whole scene. What type of guy was he versus the guy that we see today? Sinbad, do you want to answer that first, Sinbad?
Well, of course, all of us idolized Don Campbell. There's no doubt about that. He was the creator, and, of course, once different styles developed, nobody could say that he was necessarily the best or not. My personal opinion, and that's all it is, that Fluky Luke was the best of all the locker-style dancers, insofar as his diversity, his movements, his being double-jointed. But I have not seen Don Campbell in over 30 years other than pictures. And long story short is, if I were to see him, I wouldn't recognize him as being the Don Campbell that I knew. And I've heard he had a few health issues. I don't know how true that is or not. I could see by the pictures he's gained some weight. And I don't know if he could even still do the dance or not, to be honest, in the way he used to do it, the flying splits and the pancakes and everything else. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, we just have a finite amount of time. I want to make sure we get enough information as possible. Skeet, what was your take on Don Campbell? What was he like then versus the way he is now?
Did you want me to answer that question?
Yes, Skeet.
Shab? Okay, let me go back and clarify something, Shab. I see things from two perspectives. Being an investigator for years, I have a tendency to investigate even my own history of what I experienced and saw. And I realized that even members of the lockers did not know all the total stories. Only certain things were shared with the members of the lockers, even as I toured with the lockers, that the first conversation that we had over me touring with the lockers or going out with the lockers was for me to leave a baseball scholarship to go. And part of the negotiation process of that, which was done over the phone in those days, because there weren't no computers, you couldn't get paperwork quickly, was that I was leaving that scholarship to become part of the group. My family wasn't going to let me leave until there was paperwork. So therefore, when I left and arrived, there was never any paperwork. My paperwork was still under Slim, under Bill Williams, under Slim. So therefore, when I got back to L.A. and I was still considered an official alternate inside of the lockers, there was never any paperwork provided. When the tax paperwork came out and the W-2 forms were sent not to me but to Slim, there was a phone call made to ICM and to Tony Basil regarding me having a contract and where was the W-2 forms. That set off a huge argument, Chab, and that argument cumulated with, was it possible that the lockers could be sued for having me out on the Frank Sinatra tour and not having the paperwork changed? Was I covered under medical or anything in that case because there was no contract? That was the point that I didn't receive any phone calls back from Greg regarding the rehearsals at NBC. That's the point that Tony Basil hung up the phone on my family several times, and it left a very sour taste in my mouth about the business of locking. Not my brothers and sisters in South Central Los Angeles who I taught, but the business of locking. That's where
In there lies a different sort of thing. It wasn't the business of locking. I think what sour taste you may have experienced was due to your relationship or your lack of relationship with Tony Basil. Now, Tony Basil is not the business of locking. Tony Basil was managing a crew. And so to suggest that all the ills that she may have or may not have perpetrated and say that it was all the locker's fault is a falsehood. She
and I
if
agree
she
with
did
that. That's
that,
why
that's,
I said that the lockers didn't
you should
know.
Be saying Tony Basil did that, not the lockers.
Well, here's the key. I understand that the lockers did not know. Not only Tony Basil, and R.I.P. God rest his soul. I love him dearly. Him, Greg and I are very, very close. But Greg actually knew also. It was the connection between me and Greg with Creative Generation. That even to have Greg to call me, he knew that I knew certain things and could fill that role of a with the locker. So that's true. But that leads me to your question about Don.
Yeah, yeah.
Don,
what kind of person? What type of guy was he?
Well, Don was known as the leader of the lockers and the leader of the group. Don was the originator of the dance style, but he was nowhere near the leader of the group.
No,
like
no.
I said on the road,
I agree.
His personality was a party guy that was very creative, very jovial. He loved to party and loved to go out and dance, and he was very creative. But he was not a business-minded person as far as the group went. And I think that caused a lot of controversy on the situation. And I think Don, when I watched the video that he produced with the Chain Reaction, you could see the bitterness, and there was not a lot of accuracy in a lot of the statements that he made because he was so bitter of not controlling the group. But Don, as a dancer, was remarkable dancer, remarkable creative person. Don, as an individual person, if you can get to know him, he's a wonderful person. When you get to talking with Don about the control of the dance of locking and giving everyone else their props for putting into what it became, then you have a problem with the way Don responds to that. He responds as if it is a one-person-owned thing, and it was a lot of people that evolved it and helped push it to where it's at. And I think
mm-hmm.
Steve Sinbad Crane is one of them.
Shabadoo,
by the things you did in the movies, are you're definitely one of those people. I think the street element is one of them, and I think that Don does not get the respect and props that he really should get on the historical level because he doesn't allow everyone else to receive the accolades that they should receive.
And ditto, hear. Now, so that brings up, you know, a point. Of course, I have my view of Don Campbell, which I will save for a later date. It's not important right now. But that particular situation that you just mentioned, Ski, it eventually led to the breakup of the group because, as in his own words, in that Chain Reaction documentary, the guys approached him and wanted me to continue to do what I was already doing, was managing the lockers. Once that happened, he became, you know, the person, you know, a bit bitter about it. And in his own words, they want Shabadoo to lead the group, and I'm the leader, and I should have led the group, and why should Shabadoo? And that led to a big blow up, and I eventually went solo, as per his request.
My brother, you know,
create,
I saw a lot of those on the tour with the
right.
guys.
Right, so here we are. We're moving on, but I tell you, right now
there's
proliferation.
I bet Steve has a very good story also dealing with the history of the locking and how Don.
Yeah. And I'm
going
to get to that, and I know exactly what you're alluding to, and I'm going to get to that in a second. But right now, what I want to do is talk about the proliferation of locking Facebook groups that are out there that make group pages on, right? And
mm-hmm.
one recently I found, to my alarm, and it's going on all over the place, is that people are making outrageous, unverifiable historical claims, you know, saying that they were there at Maverick's flat, that they rehearsed with the lockers. And here's the thing. And here's what my bone of contention. My bone of contention is this. People can make whatever claims they want, but people who know and know the truth are not stepping up and saying, you know what, that's not true. And I know that they don't want to say it because this particular person that makes one of these comments is a very volatile person and is capable of doing whatever. Now, the point is, now they have no qualms about bringing me to the carpet. Hey, Shabadoo, you made a misquote there, or you said this wrong. But when this person says something, or these types of people say certain things, make these inaccurate statements, no one says a word. Why is that? Why is that?
Shab, I got another question for you there, too. I have had my name used for 30 years. And Skeeter Rabbit's a unique name, just like Campbell Lock's a unique name. I read one statement where people spoke up about what was the real Skeeter Rabbit. I've had people to call me and tell me that there's a lot of posts on a lot of different websites and things about Skeeter Rabbit. I had one girl call me and tell me that her and I had a date. I had one tell me I had a baby overseas, and I'm the original Skeeter Rabbit. Why the originals that had the opportunity to speak up to correct this dance did not, Shab, is beyond me. And
well,
I know
you
the
say,
post
you're say,
talking
you say,
about.
You, well, you said the originals. There are some, and I'm one of them. I've always stated the truth about those things. I don't mince my words. I've always knew you were the Skeeter Rabbit. I don't even know why you need to say OG Skeeter Rabbit. You are Skeeter Rabbit. You say
it's
OG.
It's just that
to,
it's so much
to,
on the
to
internet now.
You, right, to distinguish yourself from you from yourself from the other Skeeter Rabbit from the Electric Boogaloo. But I've always known you as Skeeter Rabbit. And
I know
after
you know.
That
I know the real. The real knows the real. And it's not just me. I just used something that was personal to me. But there are a lot of things. No one, when I first started talking about the Ghetto Dancers and Steve Crane and Captain Crunch on LockerLegends.net, there were so many people that said, no, they didn't exist. It was only this group or that group. There was so much history that had not been told that I couldn't understand why people hadn't spoke up for it. But let me get to that particular post. I saw that post on
the Lockers United.
No, there is no Lockers United. It defunct a couple of years ago. It's Locker Legends, who a lot of people from Locker United is on. It's a group page that I put up just so that people would be able to continue to talk that it gathered to create Lockers United. When on that post, I found through my investigations that there are a lot of people that use statements that are partially correct, and they don't clarify and tell you how they're partially correct and how they're partially wrong. That's how these dancers today will lead people to believe something that is not actually true. And in that statement that was made, it talked about the dancer training with the Lockers. Well, again, the Lockers, there was members of the Lockers that were so devious that they did things behind each other's backs. There's about six or seven groups with the term Locker on their promotional picture, with Don Campbell and Greg Campbell Lock Jr. in the pictures, that a lot of dancers danced with and believe because they did that, they have the right to claim that they trained with the Lockers or some of the Lockers. That's partially accurate. We know they didn't train with the original seven. We know that. But they have the right, the possibility to say that because they trained with some of them. The same thing with doing the Mavericks.
No, they have the right to state the latter part of what you just said. They have
the right to
say we train with some of these others and not allude and give a false impression or infer that they were one of the Lockers when in fact they weren't the Lockers of fame. That is what they're really trying to attach their name to, not some collection of misfits.
That's why clarification needs to be made by people that know that. Clarification needs to be made. But
The clarification is out there now. It's at www.thelockersdance.com.
And
it states the seven, and that's it. All the other people who make these claims, the only one that I will vouch for that had the alternate Lockers status was James Higgins, Skeeter Rabbit, a.k.a. Skeeter Rabbit, and Tony Gogo. The rest of them people, I don't know. Those people don't exist.
Well,
you're right.
You're right, and you have to let them. We have to let the public know that those are the only
people
that dance with the original group. Outside of that, Shab, just keeping it real. I was in Japan, and with Greg Campbell Lock Jr., my brother Tony Gogo, and two other people that came along later on in other generations, and we did a show. One of the first shows I did since actually coming back on stage, and the introduction was the original Lockers. Now, I went to Greg and asked him about that. That has been done over and over again by various members, and people believe that we were the Lockers.
Well,
that's a sad thing.
That's an egregious act.
That's a bad thing. I agree with you. But the other two members that would dance with us in that show, you don't think that they're going to use that as a verification for themselves being authentic? Yes, they are. They're going to say, we did a show with the Lockers. That's what the, what is done in our history, Chef. That's what's been done in our history.
And that's why we are on the phone today to clarify these points. And, you know, just because a person mentions something over and over again doesn't mean that it's true. Just because they state it over and over again doesn't mean that it's true.
Absolutely.
They can have their point of view, but that still doesn't mean that it's true. There are the Lockers. There were seven members and two official alternates. That was it. There were no others, period. Anyway, let's move on because there's some other important things I don't really want to talk about here. Maybe that'll be in our respective books and documentaries or whatever. We'll be able to have more time to clarify a lot of these points. But, you know, Sinbad, you recently shared with me some information, and Skeet alluded to it. You shared with me at Simply Wholesome over lunch, or dinner it was, with Ty Babylonia, that there was a letter sent to you, which I was completely surprised by. And who was that letter from, and what did that letter contain? And no embellishments, just get to the point. What was that letter?
Well, it wasn't sent to me. It was sent to the manager of our group.
Okay, well, that's you. That's you. See, if they send it to the manager, that's you. You're part of the group that the manager is managing.
Okay, right. Okay, well, it was sent to our manager, and it was right after our group had performed on the Tonight Show. And Steve Allen was the guest host, and we were supposed to go on tour with Steve Allen to the Starlight Theater, Kansas City. This tour was supposed to be for 2 weeks. Well, after our show, but before our tour, Tony Basil had written a letter to Steve Allen, who was the guest host when we did the Tonight Show. And in her letter, she stated that our group was good but could use some choreography, and that she was a choreographer, thus she should manage our group. As a group, we decided, no, we didn't need her. We didn't need any choreography. We're fine the way we are. And there were five members of our group, and we were younger than the Lockers. Three out of the five members were still in either high school or one in junior high school. Only two had actually graduated or were old enough to be out of high school. But we kind of liked, relished our, quote, Jackson 5 appearance, because many people used to think we were the Jackson 5 when we were going on tour, on buses and what have you. So we rejected the offer of having her become our manager because, number one, she was already managing Lockers.
Wow.
We didn't know what would be in store for us.
Wow.
From a business point of view, that was a bad decision because it was much tougher getting work after that. But, again, I didn't look at dancing as being a viable career, and that's why I take my hats off to you. And also I have to mention Penguin, better known as Rerun from the show What's Happening, because you guys did extend locking. When I said it ended in 1975, I should have clarified extended for me. But you guys extended it and kept it alive. But back to the letter, yes, she did. I saw the letter with my own eyes, and she did basically make a request that she manage our group. First, though, is that we got canceled. We rejected the suggestion in the letter. We got canceled off the tour. Still got paid because within a month of our going on tour, we still got paid for the tour, but it wasn't the money. I wanted to go on the tour for the experience, for the travel, being in another state. And the money was good, you know, for a 16, 17-year-old kid, but we never did get to go on that tour. And I later found out that it was some members, not all, but some members of the Lockers went on our tour.
The some members of the Lockers, one of the two of the three that went on tour is on the phone with you right now. In any case, we're going to be able to go into great detail in our own books and our own documentaries. And, you know, unfortunately, we have a finite amount of time, and there's some things I want to get out real quick. Let's just, you know, rapid fire. Steve, you're a bit of a historian in L.A. You know, tell us, name the clubs that were the hot spots here in Los Angeles. Just rip them off.
You got the Citadel. You got the Apartments. You got the legendary Mavericks Flats. The Top of the Hill. You got the Summit. You got the Amber Light we used to go to. You got Osco's that was in Hollywood at one point in time that we used to go to. But the main three that the frontline dancers had to go to be one of the frontline dancers was Mavericks, the Summit, or the Citadel. If you weren't around for that, you weren't around for the real.
Hear, hear. Here's a question for you, Sinbad.
Yes, sir.
To give some homage to some of the great Soul Train dancers, just name some of the females out there, the grand dames of the movement that was part of locking as well. Name those. Okay. Just give me rapid fire who those are.
Okay, well, number one has to be the incomparable Demita Jo Freeman. She
here,
was
here.
The one dancing with
here,
Joe
here.
When Joe Tex was performing I Gotcha, and she was on stage performing with her with Joe Tex. I think that she would be considered, at least unofficially, the queen of Soul Train.
Okay, go on. Yeah. Give me some more names.
Okay, Freddie Maxey.
There you
Absolutely.
Go. And more.
Okay, Patricia Davis.
Yes.
There was a young lady when Soul Train had its first original episodes. There was a young lady who didn't continue with her dancing, but she was really good in the original episodes. And I remember her name was Angie. She looked to be a mix of Japanese and black. She had brown skin with slanted eyes and Japanese features. Her name was Angie. Then there was a young lady named Arnetta. We call her Arnetta Blue.
Yes.
She was
yeah.
really good. And,
oh, yeah. And who else?
You know, those are the ones that I can
well,
remember.
You know, you can't forget about my sister,
yeah.
Fawn. Come on.
You got Fawn in there. Fawn
in
there. A lot of stuff in there.
And I need to slap myself. Of course. Fawn was, like, exceptional.
You had what was called the Butterfly Girls. You had Pat Davis, I think it was
Fawn.
Freddie Maxey, and Fawn. Those three you would see wearing the kind of, you know, prior to the Pointer Sisters, wearing the vintage clothing and all that. Well, okay.
Now let me add something to that real quick. Real quick, Chef. You know, the Freddie Maxey and Arnetta Johnson were very prevalent out in Carson and Compton. They had formed a group at one point in time. Freddie danced slightly with them, but Arnetta and them danced with a group called the Tootawooda Sisters. It also had Lorna. It had Arnetta. That's who combined with the Go-Go Brothers and Greg and Scooby to form Creative Generation at Watts Writers Workshop was the Tootawooda Sisters. They were known on the streets of Watts and Compton, and they were led by Arnetta Johnson, Nettabug, as she was called.
She
wow.
also danced Ghetto Dancers briefly, I might add. Arnetta
mm-hmm.
Bug did a couple of shows with us before Skeeter came to the group, just FYI.
Yes,
okay,
sir.
You know, again, this is such an interesting and a long story past the whole locking style dance, the whole movement in Los Angeles during the early 1970s, you know, dating back circa 1971 specifically. But, you know, again, we only have a short amount of time, and I kind of want, and it's a shame because there's so much more information. I want to have you guys on again, and we're going to do a
Absolutely.
Part two of this. And so because there's tons of other questions and answers that young dancers need to hear, information, accurate information they need to hear. And but for right now, what I'm going to do is just kind of sum it up here. You know, the whole locking experience, the whole locking journey for all of us, it parallels kind of the whole Negro Baseball League in a lot of ways, whereby there was
yeah.
many black Negro baseball players, but you know it took a handful of them that really was able to cross over and open the gates for many, many more black African-Americans to participate in the game. They had to endure a lot of things, namely, you know, the Jackie Robinson. Of course, we don't hear a lot. We didn't get to see Satchel Paige in all his glory and all the wonderful things he did. But it doesn't
yes.
discount the wonderful things and the pain that Jackie Robinson had to endure. So
yes, sir.
Again, you know, we on this show right now, in this particular show, the purpose is to enlighten young dancers, give them a real hope, give them a real history, which you two brothers did so great today. I'm going to have you on again. We're going to have a part two, people. We're going to bring Skeeter Rabbit back on. We're going to bring Steve Crane back on, and we're going to talk about, and maybe even bring Scooby-Doo into the mix and some other ones and really kind of go deeper into the locking history. But right now, what I want to do is make sure that the people out there know where you're at. Skeet, tell the people where you're at on Facebook so they know and they can get in touch with you and be able to get, you know, whatever information that they can.
You can find me on Facebook under Skeeter Higgins. You can find LockerLegends.net, where I wrote a comprehensive the history as I live locking throughout the ages. Also, look out for Funkin' with the Go-Go Brothers. Your brother, my brother Orlando, is putting out a monthly show called Funkin' with the Go-Go Brothers, and we're going to be on the air talking about a lot of things. And I'm going to do an interview with you, Shaf, for Locker Legends, so we can start to put the pieces back together.
Oh, don't do that. I'm scared.
Man, I've sat with you over many tables. It'll be nothing but sitting over another table with me and you, Shaf, and going over some of those great memories.
Skeet, I'd love to be on the show. Nothing would please me more than participate on your show. Sinbad, where can the people know where you're at?
Yep.
Okay, I'm all listening. Go ahead, Skeet.
Okay,
Let me say thanks to you, Steve Crane, because if it wasn't for you bringing the attention that the history needed to be put out there, we never would have put LockerLegends.net together. Much love to you and the Ghetto Dancers.
Thank you, sir.
Wonderful.
Steve Crane. I'm on Facebook as Steve Crane, not to be confused with my son, who is Stephen Crane. And so on Facebook, and there are other Steve Cranes, obviously, out there as well. But I'm listed under Steve Crane, retired LAPD.
Right now, I want to give a big shout-out to Easy Way Broadcasting for making this all possible today, and Eric Zuli, EZ, for, you know, being so wonderful and helping us and assisting us behind the scenes and to make this whole moment possible. So big shout-out to Easy Way and WTV Networks and the Easy Way Broadcasting for making that all happen. In closing, I want to say to everyone out there listening, we love you. We support locking. We support locking in its positive way. We want real truth. If you did something, we'd be the first people to laud your input, your participation. But if you didn't, you're going to have some problems, and that's the problems that exist. But we don't hate you. We're not against you. And there's no reason to feel like you need to go and beat us up or kill us or threaten us with our lives and all that stuff. All we're trying to do is leave a legacy behind that is intact, that is healthy, and that is accurate. Am I right,
generations, for the next generation, long after us, we want the history to dictate or tell what people went through to get it to this point.
So with that, on Skeet's words, I want to thank you from the Easy Way and Breaking News with Shabadoo team for Skeeter Rabbit and Sinbad for being on the show today. Peace.
Peace.
Cheers.
We're here to talk a bit about our man Shabadoo, the ultimate innovator of many styles. Got plenty styles, check out how we work it in.
Give it up for the king of the street dance, Shabadoo. Everything he do is completely enhanced. Started off with the lockers, to rocking with Shaka.
Yeah.
I feel for those who oppose the chief rocker.
Well, the chief working it, dance man, the genius. Respect you, true to Don Cornelius. The motivator of street dance styles today. And if you don't know a brother, check it with your page.
Every legend needs a theme song when you hear this. Cherish the legacy, the man will never perish.
Who?
Shabadoo, hey, bring the camera crew. Let his name ring from here to Xanadu.
Locking, 5.0, rubber legging and wagging. Created cause the culture was lacking. Surfing, crumping, shuffling, tutting. Look at what the street kids started from nothing.
All right, guys, that was Breaking News with Shabadoo. I hope you enjoyed that segment of Easy Talk Live, and we are doing it the easy way. Remember, you guys tune in every Thursday morning, 10:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. I hope everybody all over the world, you know, enjoys what we do. We, you know, we do it the easy way. So we got some more cool updates, and normally I have a lot of things that I want to talk about, but you know, it's been such a crazy week for me, guys. We are doing like, I don't know, 7 events. We're consulting like 7 events and helping out with a lot of different situations. So I didn't have time to really do research on any of the wonderful entertainment news and idiotic, stupid things that reality television is doing, and I haven't had a chance to really do it, too much of my opinions on too many things because didn't have a chance to do too much research. So we're just going to give you guys some updates. We have an event coming up, guys, on December 6th and 7th. I want you guys to check out thepeacefund.org. Thepeacefund.org. If you click on Celebrity Players, you'll see that I'm the host. Yay! I'm the host of the games. They're doing a big, giant celebrity paintball tournament at Camp Pendleton on December 6th and 7th. And there's a lot of different celebrities that are playing, and they're fighting for charity. There's a lot of different nonprofits. If you are a nonprofit or if you know of a nonprofit, they are still looking for nonprofits to support, I believe. If you're someone that can donate and support the situation, look up the Peace Fund, thepeacefund.org. And they are an amazing organization to help kids, charities all over the world. And they just recently linked up and I believe partnered with Microsoft to create what's called the Peace Fund Hub. And the Peace Fund Hub is kind of like a Facebook for charity. It's pretty cool. Now, what's really cool is we are doing is the Easy Way Access, which is a social network we'll be launching next year, which actually gives you Easy Way Access to all the wonderful things that we do in the corporate philanthropy and celebrity entertainment world. Let me tell you guys a little bit about Easy Way that maybe some of you guys don't know. Easy Way Broadcasting, powered by WTV Networks, is associated with California Pictures, which is associated with Paramount, NBC, Fox, everything you can think of, and we do television film distribution. We also work with Casey Thomas. Casey Thomas is actually one of our partners, and she does all the biggest A-list events in the planet, product placement, corporate placement. She's an amazing PR, and she does the biggest events. So we work in conjunction with her. We also work with Music That Pays Magazine. Music That Pays Magazine is, I'll say this again, they have over 50,000 subscribers quarterly, and it's a printed hard copy magazine as well as a digital magazine, and they are just amazing as far as getting you paid when you're an artist or when you're trying to do music, and so we work in conjunction with them, as well as Fan TV Global Networks, Actors Reporter, Actors Entertainment, Avant-Garde Magazine, FVM Global Magazine, a ton of different stuff. So that is our distribution. If you want to see more, you can go to thewtv.com, click on resources, and you'll see that. I also am a celebrity blogger. I've been blogging for over 10 to 12 years, and I have a following of over 200,000 people that follow the Easy Way and Eric Zulli and what I do and my interviews and all the wonderful stuff that I own. And if you want to know more, you can follow E-R-I-C-Z-U-L-E-Y and do it the Easy Way. Remember, hashtag Easy Way, and a lot of people will follow you off of that hashtag, which is pretty cool. We got a lot of amazing things coming up. We're really, really stoked. I got my man Sam Sarpong. He's got his big event December 11th. Coming up December 11th, and you can get all this information on my application if you download the E-R-I-C-Z-U-L-E-Y app for free. What also is pretty cool is you can actually go to the fan wall, and if I'm ever with any celebrities, if I'm ever with anybody that you might want to talk to, that you might want to get in connection with, you can actually hit me up on the fan wall, and you can talk to me directly, and I will most likely look at your question and direct that directly to the celebrity or the public figure, a producer, or whoever we're working with. We have the Ascent Expo coming up on February 28th, 29th, and March 1st. Now, this is a 3-day expo at the Los Angeles Convention Center with a lot of stuff involved. You can get more information at Ascent, A-S-C-E-N-T, expo.com. It's just going to be a really cool thing, and you will see us. We'll have a booth there, and we'll be rocking and rolling with our celebrity friends and all the wonderful stuff we do. We also do Bringing Hollywood to Orange County. If you are in Orange County, hit us up, 424-209-9290, 424-209-9290. We have a mansion that we do events every couple months in San Clemente. You can check out Experience. That's the letter X, Experience the Easy Way, if you want to get more information on that. It is a lot of fun. and amazing connections, amazing networking. You will meet some really cool people going to that event. So we are in the now. We are involved in all the exclusive stuff. We're involved with the TIP International, which is one of the biggest CEO to CEO organization, membership organizations, thetip.com, if you want to check them out. The president, Kim Marie, is a friend of mine. They have over 500 chapters and 120,000 CEOs, as well as American Chinese CEO Society, CEO Space, and Black Heart Circle. So we're involved with that. And, you know, we're just doing our thing. So if you guys want to follow the Easy Way, you can do that at Easy Way Broadcast on Twitter or Easy Way Broadcasting on Facebook. Mine is just Eric Zuley, E-R-I-C-Z-U-L-E-Y. If you have any interviews for me, hit me up. You got the number. You got the information. The email is booking, B-O-O-K-I-N-G, at Easy, letter E, letter Z, EasyWayBroadcasting.com. If you'd like to be a guest on the show or you'd like to be covered, get an interview on our network, anything that we do, you can hit us up at that same email. Hit us up on our fans page. And, yeah, so that was today's show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. And, you know, if you guys have any questions, hit us up on our fans page. I hope again, I keep repeating myself. I hope you enjoyed the show. Download the application, E-R-I-C-Z-U-L-E-Y. Follow me on Twitter. Love to talk to you guys. And guess what? I follow back. And I interact, and I respond. You know, I'm not like a lot of other people that have verified badges that never talk to you. So I will respond back to you. I appreciate the support. And you are only as good as the support that you're given. Remember that. So thank you, guys. Trust in God. Trust in your friends and family. And stay strong. You know, no matter what haters come after you, you know, just go strong, strong, strong. It'll bounce off you. Trust me. I've dealt with it. And, again, this is Easy Talk Live on Easy Way Broadcast and powered by WTV Networks. And we're on Blog Talk Radio, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. We're one of the top 500 stations on Blog Talk Radio out of 1.2 million members that Blog Talk Radio has. So we're proud to be on Blog Talk Radio, proud to do what we do. Stay tuned for some new shows coming up. We have a show coming up. We're going to relaunch it called Teens on Air. Only this time we're going to be launching it with a little 13-year-old girl that is a producer, filmmaker, graphic designer, artist. She's 13, and she's amazing. She's backed by some of the biggest people in the industry, and we will be launching her and some of her celebrity friends and some of my celebrity friends on Teens on Air. Do not miss that. It's going to be every Friday, 6 o'clock. It's going to be launching hopefully either in December or next year. We also have Baby Boomers Live with Aretha Gray from Betty White's Off the Rockers on Lifetime, formerly on NBC, and my dad with the Knights of Columbus. They do Baby Boomers Live, all things human from a baby boomer's perspective, and we got a lot of other great shows. We also got Humanitarian Radio on Sundays at 3 o'clock, and they highlight all the humanitarian efforts, and my show, Easy Talk Live, on Thursdays, 10:30 a.m. Again, guys, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you guys next week.
Innovation, philanthropy, consciousness, and commerce collide with Hollywood at the 2015 Ascent Expo at the Los Angeles Convention Center on February 27th through March 1st. Get your company, product, idea, or cause exposed at this historic event, featuring beauty, fashion, art, and music on an enormous center stage with 50 electrifying performances, tens of thousands of people, and a star-studded red carpet. Experience an overwhelming flow of potential customers, clients, business partners, collaborators, and investors. Prime exhibitor space and sponsorships are selling fast. Visit AscentExpo.com. That's AscentExpo.com.
Easy Way Broadcasting is the place to hear everything you need to know about entertainment and business. Now, you can see more about Eric Easy Zuley and all his connections through his online TV network, WTV Network. You can watch the latest videos and read the most up-to-date articles. Keep your eyes on WTV Network to see what's coming in the next few weeks. You'll see the newest web series and original talk shows. Follow Eric at Hollywood It Guy.
Do you want a stronger internet presence and social media following for you or your business? Eric Easy Zuley and his company, Easy Way Entertainment, can help you get discovered. Go to www.easywaybroadcasting.com for prices and packages that can help you take control of your internet presence and gain marketing exposure.
You have been listening to Easy Talk and doing it the easy way on Easy Way Broadcasting with your host, internationally known radio and TV personality, actor, producer, and social media expert, Eric Easy Zuli. His work has been recognized by Congress. The city and county of Los Angeles have honored him with an award in his name. To find out more about Eric and Easy Way Broadcasting, follow him on Twitter at Eric Zuli and check him out on HollywoodItGuy.com. Thank you for listening. Something like that.